Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
My name is Almeen, and I'm so glad you can join me. I am all by myself today, so it's just you and me, and so we'll just have to see where Spirit guides us, and wherever it is, it's going to be an adventure. So let us start in by looking at nutrition and enlightenment. Many times people ask me, does it really matter what I eat? In other words, can my body become enlightened if I can eat anything I want? And during the ascension process, we find the following things happening. When you are in ego identification, and the way you know whether you are that or not, is that you would have a dialogue in your head. There is constantly something in your head speaking that affirms your world view. Later, as you go into stages of mastery, there is no worldview. There's just the innocence of a child experiencing life. So, as long as that dialogue is there, you are identifying with mind, which is surface mind, with emotions and with the body. But what we have with that is that you are tied into the matrix of humanity. And the matrix of humanity is when you are in identity consciousness, it is tied into the belief systems of humanity. And it believes in the grid that nutrition creates health. So first of all, you know, you'd have to break free from those belief systems for nutrition not to create health or ill health. That's the first issue to consider. Secondly, during ego identification, during the stages that most light workers are in, you receive the layers of light through the chakras. The chakras download it to the endocrine system. And the endocrine system can download it into the blood, and in fact, from the chakra to the endocrine system, and the endocrine system into the blood as subtle information, is done very easily when the blood is alkaline. But when you have your pH affected by stress, lack of exercise, very starchy-based foods, all of that is very acidic. For instance, fruits are alkaline with, I believe, the exception of prunes and plums. They are acidic in what they promote in the blood. The egg yolk is alkaline. The egg white promotes acidity. Starches, sugars, all of that promotes acidity. Red meat promotes acidity. Alkalinity is promoted by white meat. So leafy vegetables, things like that, all alkaline. Now, when you eat a lot of alkaline-based foods, the information coming at your chakras can download effortlessly. And you don't need as much sleep because it gives you that energy that it normally ties up at your disposal. If, on the other hand, your bloodstream is very acidic, you require more sleep, and it can make you groggy, sluggish, lethargic, etc. The more you're exposed to this information, and the more there is acidity in the blood. People frequently sleep in my classes. They cannot keep their eyes open. They've paid money to be there. They so much want to hear, but they fall asleep. And I tell them to go right ahead. In fact, I encourage them to bring a blanket and a pillow and just lie down in class and go to sleep in the corner, because my information is hitting them at many different levels. I don't just teach verbally. And they will assimilate it. But because of the acidity level of their blood, the sleep is required to download this bombardment of information and subtle information, that is given in my classes. So, you know, in that stage, it would be very helpful to have healthy food. Excuse me. Now, let's take a look at something else. Let's take a look at the fact that you have very little energy at your disposal when you have an internal dialogue. So the more energy you can have, the better. My brothers and sisters, the funny thing of it is, for the longest time, up until August of 2006, I was always so astonished at how many light workers did in fact have malnutrition. They weren't assimilating their nutritional values from their food that they took such great care to choose. Why? Excuse me. My throat happens like this when I do too much talking. So the reason why is that up until August of 2006, a principle was at work that we've discussed on many of our programs. The fact that opposite matter and energy attracted, same matter and energy repelled. Light workers eating healthy food were always so distraught when they would develop cancer or something up until that point, because they would say, of all the people for this to happen with, I watch everything I eat. But you see, the principle said opposite matter and energy attracted up until August of 2006, when we had the massive pole reversal changing that. And so highly nutritional foods were being repelled as the same matter and energy as the body. We were repelling our nutrition as light workers, whereas nutrition was sucked right in by those of low frequency, low matter. I mean, low energy, low matter. So, likewise, with the toxins that is in our environment, even if you eat healthy foods, it's everywhere. If you eat out in a restaurant, you don't know what they do. They might be cooking your food in an aluminum pot that leaks aluminum into your food. It's in the air. It's in the gasoline fumes. The phenol in gasoline is not good. Excuse me. It helps when I have somebody else asking the questions as well. So, we were, in fact, as light workers, we were absorbing the opposite energy and the opposite physicality of toxins. Those who were themselves toxic weren't. As of August 2006, this has changed. So now, you know, eat the good foods, you're going to be sucking that nutrition in. It's different than it was before, and you're going to be repelling what is unhealthy in the foods. So let's go to God consciousness. In God consciousness, which is the next major stage of man, it still is an issue. You need to watch what you eat, or you don't, because you have less energy that you spend, because you don't have to think for most of the time. In God consciousness, you still come back to linear mind when you relate. But that's why most of the yogis and so don't like relating. They don't like speaking to people. They just like being in the beingness. However, so you have much more energy at your disposal. The energy helps to download information quicker, but there still is the possibility that your blood could be acidic through foods that you eat, even though at this point you're in surrender to life, and so the inclination for the body to get acidic is less. But there still is an issue regarding food. Now, I will tell you that from this stage of human development onwards, whatever you eat, you will automatically detoxify as you move layer through layer through layer upwards. And by the time you get to the final and large stage of human evolution, which is the ascended mastery levels, things yet again change. because in those ascended mastery levels, you can eat whatever you like by the second phase. Second phase is immortality. You can eat or you don't have to. Because at this point, if you have had your body, now this is an important point for us to look at, if your body has kept pace with the transfiguration of your more subtle bodies, then it should be an immortal body. If it is an immortal body, whatever you eat or don't eat really doesn't matter, assuming you've shed those belief systems altogether, which normally, of course, by then you have. So, my brothers and sisters, the ascended mastery levels, you are in total silence of the mind. You would fake thinking, you do pauses in your speech so you don't sound like a robot, but you really don't think at all. That it is automatic speaking, automatic writing. And so, at that point, your energy is not tied up in those functions. There's so much energy at your disposal. And now, you know, whatever food you eat, it's going to be dealt with in a proper manner. And how do you get your body to follow suit? You must get rid of linear time. And linear time doesn't mean that you don't keep schedules. It just means that you use a lot of timers. And let's say you have 20 minutes to lie in your hammock. If you keep looking at your watch to see if the 20 minutes are up, you're not enjoying the moment. So what you do is you have a timer on a little clock, or you walk around with a timer, or you have a watch with a timer. You set it for 20 minutes, and during those 20 minutes, you are in infinity. There's no time. There's just you and the sky and the hammock and the apple tree or whatever it is tied to. And there's the glory of just being. When you do this, then you are in eternal time. And if you do this often, you start to live that way with total awareness in the moment. It's the place of all power. Then the body follows the suit of the subtle body's transfiguration, and the cell's nucleus, which is normally small and round, enlarges. It feels like popcorn popping in your body when that happens. When the body becomes, the cells become fully spiritualized, there is this popcorn popping feeling from head to toe and an electrical impulse. And what happens is the nucleus of the cell enlarges and the cells fill, if you will, with spirit, with higher aspect material. And that is when the body itself also goes into immortality. When you cut yourself, the flesh might be deeply cut open, but blood does not come out of that flesh. It just peels open. And you can hold it together and it will knit quite soon. People experience burns and things, and by the next day it's gone. Or they can see the burn on the hand, but it doesn't hurt. Pain is felt differently. It is felt more like pressure. And the pain, now there's another misconception about the body at this level. People think that when you go into immortal mastery, that you're going to have no ailments whatsoever. At that stage, you know that the ailments is just a language that your body is speaking to you. And let's take a look at the language for a bit. I don't think I've ever done that on these shows, but perhaps I have. What we have is that the skin is the interface with life. When the interface is painful or irritable, you're going to get skin messages in the form of rashes or cuts or something. The part of the body where this happens is very important. The toes mean, you know, now we give the exact toe. Every toe has a very distinct meaning, and every finger as well. And this information is given in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. But toes mean I can't move forward through life. So, or it's painful to move forward. The whole right leg has to do with your way of managing your life with left brain type of principles. How to pay your bills, how to organize your schedule, how to you know, get your life in order so that you get your car serviced, your dry cleaning dropped off, whatever it is you do. The left leg deals with spiritual and feminine issues. It also could deal with relationships. The masculine leg is the right leg, and it could deal with masculine relationships. Left leg could deal with feminine relationships, or the expression of the artistic, the spiritual, the beautiful, the graceful, etc. So the hips pertain to the way you want to move through life versus the way you are moving through. So if there are problems in the hips, it has to do with life is not the way I want to really be. I'm walking through it. Then let's take the torso. Stomach areas have to do with how well you can stomach life, how digestible it is to you. Indigestion shows that life is not digestible. And for women, ovaries often have to do with their children. Breasts have to do with their femininity. Women that have been used or abused in relationships or betrayed in relationships, if those things are not properly gathered in terms of insights, if they have not yielded their insights, what is the lesson? What was the contract? What role did I play? What were the mirrors, etc.? And we have all of that in Journey to the Heart of God, as well as, I believe, Life of Miracles. So, my brothers and sisters, if it is not fully what we call recapitulated, then breasts become a problem. And breast cancer develops from things like that. Now we'll speak about disease in a little bit, but what we have is as follows. The spine. If the low back hurts, there's issues of feeling unsupported. The vertebra each have a meaning. For instance, the vertebra where a woman's bra strap would go across the back, that has to do with self-expression. It's the vertebra that develops when the baby starts to properly move by itself as a fetus. When you are not properly and fully expressing, that's where the warning sign comes. When you are stifled from expressing what you want to, then you'll find problems in the lungs. You know, asthmatic conditions are often amongst the nobility that in England, for example. If they grow up in the old traditional way of where they have to cross their T's and dot their I's from the time they are little tiny children up in the nursery, and they can't run and play and get dirty and stuff, those kinds of things would create lung conditions. So the neck has to do with ideals. The head is ideals. The rest of the body is the way ideals is expressing in life. Where that meets is the neck. When the neck is a problem, then our ideals are not meeting reality. When shoulders are a problem, you are carrying too much that isn't ours to carry. When we have sinus problems, those are negative emotions and thoughts. Either our own, if we're critical about other people, we're going to have sinus infections. Throat means something that you did not voice that you should have, or something you said that was unfair or unkind. Teeth have to do with parental teachings. Also, the need for aggression. Old programming that tells us we need to be aggressive, or if we want to aggressively deal with something and suddenly our one tooth is throbbing, we know that there's no aggression needed. Eyes have to do, of course, with things we don't see. Spots in front of the eye are blind spots in our life, and so forth. So skin deals with the interface with people. Soft tissue has to do with attitudes. Bones have to do with parental teachings or genetic programming. And joints have to deal with flexibility. The right arm has to do very much with the way we are treated or treat males. The left arm, we are treated or treated by females. When there's stuff that's happened that we didn't get the lessons of so that the sting is out of it, but we try to shove it behind us, things like old ways people treated us, etc., are going to end up in the shoulder blades. This is the language of pain. When you go into ascended mastery, my brothers and sisters, it's not that they go away. It's just that they signal you gently, and if you are aware enough, which you should be by then, you get it virtually immediately. And they're gone. So it doesn't have to develop into a full-fledged or long-term problem. If you ignore the symptom and so forth, eventually you will have a sore something or another. But when you get it, it's gone virtually immediately. That's the only difference. There's not this healing period required. You know, I've said before on the show that my 9-year-old daughter, other than a nosebleed, she has never been at a doctor. Because she doesn't have to. We read the problem, we acknowledge it, we deal with it, and it goes away immediately. So my brothers and sisters, that's so much about the body, and we'll take a quick break and then we'll be back.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back with us. We are in our second segment, and as I've said previously, we don't have anybody to ask questions today, so I'm on my way to do it all by myself. So my brothers and sisters, regarding the body, there is just a few other things to wrap up the topic, and then we'll move on to another. And those things are as follows. If you take a look at the Bel Vaspata website, BelVaspata, and there's also a page or so on it on my website, it deals with the fact that disease as a reality has ceased to exist. And disease had a real part only when there were perpetrators in the cosmos that represented illusion that was already solved. In other words, bacteria might have a valid place in the body, but when there's an overgrowth of it, or let's take rather fungus, everybody has the flora in their body called Candida albicans, and I think there's another one called Candida parapsilis. But the point is that when there is an overgrowth of it, that makes huge problems, and then things start falling over in terms of multiple systems. And we've spoken about the fact that when fungus is in the body, it's because we allow others to feed on our life force. You know, we fetch and carry and heal and fix and pacify instead of living authentically from the heart. When bacteria and viruses, now I'm going to explain to you how I can say this, even as I tell you that they're not real. As bacteria and viruses come into the body, it is because there is something hostile in our life. And the hostility might be a subtle form of control, but it is deliberate. It doesn't allow one to step out of the box. And when we abandon ourselves, that's when those things come in, because hostile people take its place. They tell us how to be and how to live. Or they are deliberately malevolent. And bacteria is mostly the case when they are deliberately malevolent and we allow it. We excuse it. We accept the unacceptable, which is not saintly. It is dysfunctional. So, my brothers and sisters, if we take a look at that, the real part of disease in the cosmos, what does that mean? See, when the Infinite Mother began and created Father, and jointly they created creation, and life began, there were portions that were being mirrored to the Infinite Mother that she did not understand. She created her children to mirror her face to herself. How does one know your face if you're the only being in creation and there are no mirrors? So they were created as mirrors to create a way for mother to see herself in external mirrors. Now, I will tell you that that was later in the recent months fixed and taken back to the very beginning and changed. But that is initially how it was. So as things were being mirrored to mother, because her beings had a measure of self-determination, we had freedom of choice. And that was imperative, because if all freedom of choice is taken away from an individuation, they actually cease to be as an individuation. They just dissolve. So where there was freedom of choice, if we chose to mirror to mother upside down images, meaning that which she is not, there was no way for her to know, because the whole experiment of creation was done for the sake of self-knowledge. So not having self-knowledge, and not yet having gained it at the very beginning of life, now mother has gained it, and she's carried it backwards to those first moments. But not having self-knowledge, she didn't know what was being mirrored to her. Is it her, or is it their freedom of choice? So life was this very grand, epic journey of discovering what is and what isn't part of the divine perfection. And there were perpetrators that mother did not create. In fact, I think this was mentioned on our very last show or the one before. Who created them? But there were perpetrators that were not created by mother. And so as these perpetrators came about, they mirrored those portions of existence that were unknown. So they mirrored the undeveloped light, because light is nothing more than known information. So as they mirrored that, and as those pieces were solved, mother, in fact, remade them over and over and over, giving them the chance to step off the treadmill, and they don't have to play that role any longer, which is not something she told them to play, but since they were playing it, they became representatives of those roles, of those principles. When mother remade them and gave them the chance to move forward, in every instance they rejected it. Now, why is in our show, and it's either the last one or the one before, in which we mention the beings that were never meant to live and who created them. So, you know, take a little listen to that one. But what I'm trying to say is when they no longer had to be the malevolent beings that they were within the cosmos, that ended in August of 2006, very crucial time. And when that ended, disease as a whole was done away with. Its real part was removed. And why then are people still suffering from disease? Well, I've given the example before that if there is a pen on the table and one of the unseen realms beings, let's say a spirit or an angel, wishes to use a pen, they would take the real part of my pen out of it. And the shell, the visual image would be there, but the real core of the pen would be used by the angel maybe in a whole other room. If they don't put that real part back, The pen on my table will sometimes be there, sometimes not. If I don't believe that it's real anymore, it will be gone very soon. So it's when we believe that things are real that they linger. So in relation to disease, the real part of it, the real pen, has been taken out. So in the healing modality, Bel Vaspata, which is a gift of the mother to humanity, it is the most potent healing modality on earth today because it came straight from the mother. It came through me. I've given it freely to anyone around me. You absolutely can self-initiate into Bel Vaspata. That is in the Ring of Truth. And also, you can be initiated by other masters, but self-initiation is in the Ring of Truth. And I just this morning had a beautiful audio email from somebody that was singing in the old Isis language, and she was wondering what was going on because she had read the Ring of Truth and the holy sigils in there in the Bel Vaspata section kicked in the memory of the old ancient Isis language, and she started to sing, in fact, in the music of the old Isis language. So she sent me that this morning, and I just sent a little message back to say, congratulations, that's what you're doing. So, my brothers and sisters, it's profound, but it does not deal with disease as disease. It deals with disease as something that is trying to tell us something, in other words, the language of spirit. Something that is fascinating. I asked Mother for a sigil for cancer. For the longest time, I asked her, and she wouldn't give it to me. She said, no, you don't understand the principles behind it. And then I understood the principle of zero point. Then I understood the principle of why we would manifest a pretend virus, if you will, to give us cancer. An unreal virus is more what I would say, because certainly it feels very real to a cancer person, a cancer patient, and why that would occur. What is the message that it is trying to give us? Let's take a short break, and when we come back, I'll tell you about it.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Bel Vaspata, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Well, my brothers and sisters, I finally got the cancer sigil from Mother because I discovered what the principle of zero point pertains to. Now, I have on previous shows discussed it in more detail, so I'm going to skim through it because The point is more the issue of cancer. So, zero point, in the past, because Mother has put all sorts of stringent rules on this. In the past, it was the result of when a big bang or an implosion happened. And in fact, when a big bang happened, there is a black hole in another realm, because it sucks in and it sucks through a portal and it pours out the other side. So wherever there is an explosion of life out the other side, it imploded on the other side of a membrane where there is either a, where there is usually a higher octave. It doesn't have to be a higher octave, but it can be. So when that happens, these big bangs or these black holes, which Mother has now gone to great lengths to completely get rid of, it takes away all the building blocks of life, the subatomic particles, the tiny little quantum physics particles. It sucks them out of the area, and what's left is a sort of vacuum. And the vacuum is of these quantum physics particles, the subatomic level particles. And there are multiple of those, depending on, you know, what level of frequency you're in. So when these building blocks are sucked away, there's no life, because they're the building blocks of life. It, in fact, sucks the fields that precede these building blocks. And in our past programs, we've spoken of this as the broth in which the carrots and the vegetables, which are these particles of life, float. There's a field preceding it. It even sucks that field out of existence. And when it does that, what happens is nothing is left. Power is sucked away, and life force is sucked away, energy is sucked away, light and love is sucked away, awareness is sucked away, as well as any knowledge or perception. Gone. Nothing there. Cancer was very prevalent because in the human body we had a zero point area behind the belly button. In fact, people working with the Merkaba was taking this area where there was zero point energy around the life force energy, and they were, you know, expanding it out and so on. What we did not realize is that the zero point energy is very hostile to life. It sucks out of that area. It sucks the power out of the rest of the body. Now, people that maintain health and do not let the zero point in their body suck their power away from expression are people that are vibrantly self-expressing. Now, I will just tell you right away, and we can certainly, as part of our program today, if we have the time, discuss how that zero point got there, because that's an extraordinary thing, and it's no accident. How come, why is it that people had zero point in their body? So, but when somebody vibrantly self-expresses, they are home for themselves. And when they do that, it counteracts. If on the other, the sucking of the zero point of their power, if on the other hand, they allow their environmental relationships, their work, another person, their husband, their wife, whoever it is, to suck and drain their power, the same thing happens in the body. And the zero point sucks the power out of the body from places and the life force. And then cancer viruses come in to fill that vacuum. It leaves a vacuum and it fills it in. It's true that the real part of it has been removed, but it is a reminder from spirit that life is infinitely precious and must be lived well. That's why Toltecs traditionally, and this only held water until August of 2006, but they used death as an advisor. They used death to tell them, I could be knocking on your door each day, therefore Live each day well, as though it is your last. And that's what Toltecs used death for, because they reminded themselves that death was stalking them. Now, this has changed. Death as a reality, as we've pointed out on other shows, has ceased to exist. The real part of the pen there is removed as well. But to go back to this issue of the cancer sigil, so the sigil is not against the cancer virus. The sigil is called the sigil of presence, because it puts the presence of the building blocks of existence back into the area. We have had the master Irina, Russian master, has sent me all sorts of accounts of dramatic healings of cancer that has been done by herself on cancer victims. And victims is not the point, because we do this to remind ourselves of something, so we've produced it. So let's just say those who have had that as a reminder. So the Belvaspital presence sigil has worked very, very well indeed. But hey, how did we get that 0 point around the belly button? Interesting concept. We got the 0 point around the belly button during the cycles of the fall, when the following occurred. My brothers and sisters, it did not make me popular, nor did it make me very happy to have to tell people up until August of 2007 that I couldn't find anywhere a God of truth, a God of impeccability, a male God anywhere in the God kingdom that was not treacherous. That's because the real father, you can imagine how popular that one made me, okay? But it was only in August of 2007 that as the cosmos ascended higher, we found the beautiful, beautiful God of truth that was Mother's first creation. And the God of truth had been waiting in the higher realms, holding the space, guiding the greater vision as Mother went in to get her children out of the matrix and make them more real. And as we pointed out today, it's the last session or the one before, there are multiple matrices, but this matrix I'm speaking of is the very small, unreal screen where life began. And so Mother brought us out of there by going into it. He held the space. So it was only then that we encountered the God of truth, and I could say, phew, there is one after all. But what happened before that is that the God of truth, Mother, was feeding us life force into the life force center. Life Force Center was, up until May of 2007, when it moved up to the heart, it has always been behind the belly button. It's also around the Life Force Center, and in place of the Life Force Center, in some instances, not altogether, but some of it, where this 0 point energy was. So the Life Force Center really was surrounded by 0 point energy, sucking it. Mother kept feeding us life force. I cannot tell you how many entries into the Book of Life, that Book of Reality, has been put in there to replenish and replenish and replenish us. She created dynamos within us to produce energy, to produce life force. And it kept being sucked away. Where was it sucked to? We were giving our power somewhere where it shouldn't have gone. We were praying to these gods, the fathers, who were, in fact, gods of illusion. By giving the God the Father that we thought was the God of truth our power, they were sucking all the power out of us, taking it for themselves, for their nefarious deeds, because their plan always was an agenda to take over the cosmos control from Mother. Mother, on the other hand, kept replenishing us. So really, it was like, in fact, that she was giving them the life force. I sometimes have people come to my classes and they say, listen, Almin, I want to come to a cloud. I really can't afford it. So I said, okay, what can you afford? Well, maybe I can afford $300. Okay, so you know what? If that's what you can afford, that's what you can do. Can you pay anything off? No, my bills just match it, but I've got this. Okay, then let's do that. You do what you can. Then I find out that they have an alcoholic son and a drug-addicted husband, and they are subsidizing them, feeding them. I am working so hard to get this message out. It is not hard in that it is my delight, but I am working 18-hour days. They are lying on the couch, and it is money that I am feeding by giving it basically to her as a subsidy to them. That's exactly what happened to us, because we were not paying any attention, no gratitude to Mother, because they had stifled any information that they could about the Holy Mother. Some of the major religions were established by these gods because they're patriarchal, nothing to do with the Mother. They stifle the knowledge of the Mother because you empower that which you focus on. Here we are. Please focus on us and give to us, because we know that when you lose life force and energy, Mother will just keep giving it to you. So that is how that zero point developed around our life force. And that is why we've had such problems with cancer. Mother has repaired that. There's no need for cancer, but it still will raise its head as an unreal illusion when we abandon the self. When we come back, let's talk about that issue of how not to abandon the self. And now we have a little commercial break.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almin. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. Almin continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almin is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We said that we would spend our at least a little bit of time on how not to abandon the self. As you can guess, my brothers and sisters, one of the key components are the subpersonalities. Now, the fascinating thing of it is, there's something that I have never before mentioned to any group, actually, that was done very recently by Mother into the Book of Life, Changing Reality. See, up until this point, the informational flow has been as follows. So, the information in the form of potential is received by what we call our instinctual self. It used to be when we had the seven directions, which collapsed in October of 2007. It used to be the direction of below. Now, there's a wonderful therapeutic form of expression that's called interpretive dance. It's excellent. And the dancer dances out in an arena, and spectators hold the space. One spectator is normally enough, but if they feel that the dance is getting too wild, they might call in another spectator to help them hold the space so that that person can only express. They also do some interpretation for them. You know, when you danced like this, it seemed to me you were feeling this. Then the person goes, oh, yes, I guess I was, you know, and so they start to get that information. This is really the way that potential is filtered into our lives. We receive into our instinctual nature. Then there is, or has been, this is the part that has changed. There has been a higher self, a high-minded self, and its role was to hold the boundaries for the instinctual self so the wildness wouldn't get too wild. Then, you know, we had the inner child, and we had the inner elder, and then we had the inner warrior, we had the inner nurturer, and so on. But recently, Mother actually abolished high mind, putting control on our instinctual self. In other words, my brothers and sisters, I can tell you that I'm not entirely sure why she did it, and perhaps a good thing to do would be to ask her why she did it on the show so that I know that. But I don't know why she did it. But currently, our instinctual self does not have the boundaries. Let's just see if I can get that answer right away. Ishbiakyata anahva kishpa usa eshviukya avahvasta ninhushpa klauvavich. Mother says that the boundaries that we are currently having is held not by one particular mind, because the subpersonalities are no longer separate. They are forming a field. The field itself has become the boundary of expression. Now, I'm asking Mother to explain a bit better because I don't understand what I just said. Ishyaka ta uneshve, ishpiakya ta, ishmachna ba ukneves, pashkya ta unushvaha, sehtyekya ata anashma usu, ishpikya kya unush. Esvechvekia maunu ute, tishuku ishachna, vishbachna vaasta, ishva ustana bivich. Okay. Mother is saying, the linear relay of information is a thing of the past. It is that which produced linear time, which robbed us of the purity and innocence of spontaneous expression. She says previously, if you will call it an intermediary, was put between where potential was received and the remainder of the inner family, namely the inner child, the inner warrior, the inner nurturer, and the inner sage or elder. So in other words, the potential would be received, high mind would then relay it to them to find ways of living it out in our life. Mother is saying, because information now travels telepathically and empathically, it is no longer necessary for this linear pathway of potential to filter through into experience. It is instantly understood by all subpersonalities. They have all formed a unified field to the extent that they express this potential. The field is enlarged or not, but there are automatic boundaries in that all is now an interrelated field. It's just which portion of the field is most dominant at a specific moment. So it pulses in terms of dominance, not in terms of linear activity. Mother is saying also that there is no more an intermediary needed. A mother wants to say something else. Just one second, please. Ishbah kuyete inevyakya ushpata inevese. She says, have you not noticed the difference in your classes? Ishbakyata ichme eneche ukutuhi vihyahna maasa. Peshpyakyata hanash usvata enekye sta ubavi. She says, previously, the classes that you teach needed you to access mother and father, meaning me. She says now they are going directly back and forth and back and forth per day in front of herself and the father, and they are receiving direct information, which I am really just at times helping them to interpret or putting it into perspective. But there is no longer this intermediary needed, other than, you know, there's other things that I provide, of course, but in that particular instance. That is very, very true. My brothers and sisters, the most extraordinary thing has happened. I have been writing the books, Automatic, Longhand, Silence of the Mind. Mother gives me the title, I start the first page, I have no idea where the book is going. But I write the books, and the urgency will tell me when I need to write more, when I need to do less, and eventually she will give me a deadline, if needs be, of this book has to be published by this date, because it coincides with openings that occur on Earth or in the cosmos. Well, the pace at which the books are being written is beyond what any conceivable mind can really currently conceive of. I'm speechless. Okay, I was receiving The Gift of the Unicorns and the Isis book simultaneously. Right now, I am editing Windows into Eternity. We are typing up Secrets of the Ancients, and I am in the process of writing The Realms of Innocence. Three books at once. But how this is being done is that my classes are having the miracles happening to them. They're receiving the visions. The beings are visiting them. They are being allowed to speak the languages of the beings. So they've all become oracles. And so they are feeding me the information, and I'm just having to organize it. And you know, I stay up many nights, many hours, because they're flooding with about 40 pages of faxes a day, producing the books, and it's corresponding from all over the world. So an oracle in Ireland would pick up the exact same thing on the same day as the oracle in Kentucky, say. And they would all fax it to me, and it's for, as the libraries are opening, it's for these libraries. So truly, my brothers and sisters, we are living in extraordinary times. And I turn the key, and you walk through the door, and nothing can make me happier. Thank you so very much for this beautiful hour I've spent with you, and we'll speak again soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.